This season restart was always about something bigger than basketball. It was about resilience and ingenuity, but it was also about racial equality and social justice. Working together, teams and players, we found a way to play through a pandemic, keep everyone safe, and put a spotlight on these critically important issues.
That's NBA Commissioner Adam Silver as he congratulated the Lakers on their NBA title and the entire league on surviving this season. And as the confetti came down, the carefully engineered bubble of the past 100 plus days, it basically burst. Today, ESPN's Malika Andrews tells us what it's taken to make this grand experiment work and what it means to leave it all behind. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Wednesday, October 14th. This is ESPN Daily. So, Malika.
Yep.
Today is the day. Where are we reaching you right now? For the listener, if you could describe what's around you, what you're looking at for potentially, I suppose, the last time.
I'm in my hotel room at the Grandestino Coronado Springs Hotel, and this has been my room, my home, my apartment for the last 107 days.
Malika Andrews has been inside the NBA bubble as long as any other member of the media.
It feels like moving. I'm down to the bits and bobs that are no longer fun, like the half-eaten bag of Doritos that I want to decide what I want to do with, and the highlighters that I have to decide, really, do these need to stay or go? But I only have about 2 hours until I am getting picked up.
And then you will be back among us out here. So, Malika, as the most successful COVID-related experiment in America comes to an end, what's the current status of the bubble now? Are people still abiding by all the protocols?
Yesterday, officially, the bubble, quote unquote, burst, and it became a green, yellow, and red zone, which coordinates to the colors of our credentials. So previously, where I was staying was all green, which was the first tier where players, referees, select media members, coaches, NBA staff were. And those folks got tested every day. When the Lakers won, that became more squishy because the governors or owners or whatever you want to call them, like Jeannie Buss, who was in yellow, were able to come down onto the court. The agents and family members, I'm thinking of folks like Rich Paul, who had watched the championship in yellow, were then able to come into the green zone to party all night long with the Los Angeles Lakers. Mm. This hotel opens to the public tomorrow.
Wow.
So we're literally the last people in here. There are maybe half a dozen NBA staff trying to make sure that everything is getting figured out. I actually went to the package room to check for one more package, and it was like, last packages for LeBron James, last packages for Jimmy Butler, last packages for Malika Andrews, last packages for Melinda Adams, all lined up sort of all in one area. So Melinda, when the bubble burst yesterday, my producer said, oh, Malika, you are not going to be ready for this. And she's right. I'm not.
What Melinda was referring to, what she was warning you about, is what it's like on the outside.
Yeah. Well, because everything, when I first got here, there were a lot of folks who joked when you got out of quarantine, oh, you served your time. Oh, your time is up. And that always bothered me, mainly because when you look at the prison systems in the United States, that has been a hotbed for coronavirus in many cases because yes, people are in such close quarters. And so it couldn't be more different than the discomfort that folks who are incarcerated here in the United States are going through as they're battling COVID and what that means. People keep asking me here, I get texts from my family. I get it from the people who are checking us out. Are you so excited to go home? I think when I came down here 4 months ago, there was a real hope that I had that it would sort of be like this machine. I would go in, get spit back out on the other side, and things would be different from a country standpoint of where we were at with coronavirus. And that anxiety is still there.
But you had mentioned something I never considered, which is that the bubble has already burst. So I want to actually go back to the moment that happened, which it seems was the very end of Game 6. It was also obviously your last game in the bubble, but you didn't know that at the time. So walk us through your evening that night.
Whew, let's see. I think the Miami Heat genuinely felt, and Eric Spoelstra said this, they didn't even let it in their minds that this series wasn't going to 7 games. And so because of that, I had started to pack because I knew that I wouldn't be able to do it all and manage the workload in a day and a half. But I think a part of me still thought that it was absolutely possible, considering what Jimmy Butler had done in Game 5, that this series could have been extended to 7 games. And so that night,
Rondo drives, gets inside, back out, Caldwell Pope for three, puts it in. A 30-point lead here in the second quarter.
I mean, by halftime, it was very clear that this was going to be over. And I think that's when I started reckoning with it. So I had a whole half to sort of contemplate and think about this. But by the time the final buzzer sounded, I was okay with it. It felt right.
Oh, I hear a door. Malika, is that, are you still there?
That's Melinda. She's about to come in. I'm going to.
Please, please.
Come in. We can all hear you. No, come sit here. Come here. Pull up a chair.
Melinda, can you introduce yourself, please?
I'm Melinda Adams. I'm a bureau producer for ESPN, and I've been in the NBA bubble with Malika Andrews for 107 days.
I wanted to ask you guys both about what we at home could not see after Game 6. Is there anything, a memory, a scene that stuck out to you from the aftermath?
And that's it, it's over. This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
When we were still inside of the arena, one thing I noticed is since it was just so few people, you know, families, they got to take more pictures than normal. Their little kids were running around in the confetti more, you know, doing snow angels in the confetti. And sometimes I feel like in years past, like the security may not have let them do that. Mm-hmm. But this time there was more free will. And then literally as soon as LeBron and AD finished their sit down with Rachel Nichols and then LeBron went to go do some other media, they started ripping up the floor, Pablo. Like we were taping our last segment with Dave. And you could hear the zzzz, and I'm like, what are they doing? And they were over there taking up the floor. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, what is happening?
Yeah, they can burn it.
And that was quick.
They still had the champagne showers. They still had the goggles. They still had the cigars. When you walked from the Heat side over to the Lakers side, you got halfway there and the scent was just overwhelming of booze and cigar smoke. Mm. All of that still existed like normal. But a quirk of the bubble is that the Lakers, there's a restaurant in the middle of the lake and it had been lit up in purple and gold. And so the Lakers went into the middle of the lake to that restaurant to host their championship celebration that lasted until 5 a.m. Now, their meal rooms, the Lakers and the Heat's meal rooms where they did their team meetings, had been across the hall from each other. But preemptively, the Miami Heat had moved their meal room to the top of the Grandestino where they were staying to face away from where the Lakers were celebrating. And Bam Adebayo goes for a walk every single night. And he was walking around the lake with the Lakers partying in the middle, which you could see and hear. And then the NBA always hosts a media hospitality for us to come together and to hang out and to say goodbye and toast to the finals. And it turned into a full-on dance party. And because it was outside and because everyone's gotten tested, even though we were, a lot of us were still wearing masks, you were able to dance and to hang out and to do this thing that I don't know that it can be done safely
anywhere
else in the United States. And we danced until 3 o'clock in the morning. After I filed my story. Yes.
All right, coming up, more from Malika Andrews and Melinda Adams behind the curtain as the NBA bubble closes down.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So Malika Andrews, ESPN reporter, and Melinda Adams, ESPN producer, you have been partners in crime for more than 3 months now, and you still like each other, which is amazing on its own. But you know that meme, the how it started and how it's going whole thing? What would that look like for you guys?
So we walked around the lake this morning, which we haven't been able to do for almost 3 months because they shut that down to us. It was something only players could do. And we were walking around it this morning, and Melinda showed me a photo of the first day we got here. And I was wearing 2 masks and my gloves. And I had yelled at someone a couple of minutes previously, "Can you pull your mask up?" And they leaned in and got closer, and I backed up and said, "No, please, just stay away from me." And she showed me that photo, and she said, "Can you believe how far we've come? I think we need to take a closing photo."
She's come a long way, but she's, now we have to go back into the real world, and it's very, very, very frightening. She has to get on a plane, so that's, you know, that scares me for her for many, many, many reasons. And then she's going to go back to the double glove, double mask. You know, we were very diligent and vigilant, and I think that we proved if you social distance and wear a mask, and yes, we were getting tested, but it just proves that, to me, that it works.
So I really need to know more about you guys together, what it's been like to work together, be there for each other through these incredibly strange 107 days now?
Yes, today is 107.
So Melinda and I worked together in the Eastern Conference Finals last year through that whole Milwaukee Bucks run. She was my producer. And we were close then, but like she buys my toilet paper now. For a while, she was my only friend here, the person who made sure I was awake in time to do Good Morning America and had enough gas to do the 1 a.m. Sports Center at the end of the day.
Or said, "No, you're not doing the last Sports Center," because I've been down this long road before. So I call this Eminem because, you know, it's Malika and Melinda. But yeah, like it's been unbelievable. And I wouldn't have wanted to do this journey with anyone else. She is a fantastic, fierce young lady, and that I'm proud to call my friend. And she's my family. She's not a friend. I texted her mother and told her that I was going to take good care of her. And she's amazing. You know, it's something that we will look back on our life and go, wow, that was surreal. And now she's stuck with me forever. And there's going to be some separation anxiety. Like, you know, I've seen her every day, every waking moment.
There was one night we got on the bus and we just loaded all of our gear, and we carry around these carts of cameras and tripods and lights, and we close the doors. We get on the bus with our other producer, Andrea Pelkey. It's 1:30 in the morning. Halfway back, we hear this thud, 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 thud. And Melinda turns to Andrea and they joke, well, there goes our gear. Ha, 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 ha. We get off the bus. Andrea's cart's nowhere to be seen. And we look at the bus driver and we said, where's the cart?
Where is it?
And he said, well, you must have not loaded it. And we said, no, we definitely loaded it. So Melinda took all of the gear that we did have back in, and Andrea and I went back to the arena to go. It was 1:45 a.m. at that point. Couldn't find it. The bus driver was adamant we didn't put it on. We did put it on. We get a phone call from some random person, says, hi, my name is so-and-so, and I work at the Disney Beach Resort, and we just found a cart of gear in the middle of the road, and your business card was in it, Andrea. Is it yours? While we were doing all that, I hadn't eaten in hours, and Melinda was back at the hotel ordering all of us dinner and making sure. And when that we were taken care of. And when the Milwaukee Bucks, Melinda, you know, sometimes you think of a producer as the person who, you know, turns on the camera. She gives you the 30 symbol when it's 30 seconds. She gives you the thumbs up when you're about to be on camera. When the Milwaukee Bucks elected to boycott, it was Melinda that was following the Orlando Magic side of it because I could only be one place. And so she was the one who was texting me, okay, the Magic are still on the court. Okay, the Magic have left the court. Okay, the Magic are in their locker room. This is what I'm seeing.
The referees are huddling together. Something's going on.
And, you know, it was one of those things where she was also a reporter down here. And Melinda had her 60th birthday here 2 days
Woo-hoo!
Ago. Yeah.
Happy birthday, Melinda.
So we threw her
and
a little party.
They pulled off a big surprise party. I was, you know, a producer's supposed to know everything, and apparently I don't. So I was completely surprised.
That's amazing. So you both have cried while taping this podcast now, let alone apparently before. And I am tearing up a little bit too, to be honest. But you just spoke to something that has fascinated me from afar, which is beyond media, beyond players like the support staff, the drivers, the servers, tell me about the camaraderie, that community that's built by all of you guys being in this one place so uniquely together at this strange time.
I have long maintained that an important pillar of what we do is setting boundaries with the people you cover. I grow very fond of people that I cover. I enjoy being around them, but I try to make sure that a friendship could never come between asking the questions, the necessary hard questions that need to be asked. But I do think there's something bonding about this experience. When we were walking around the lake earlier today, we were noting, Melinda said, oh, usually on the left, refs are always doing a warm-up class, a workout class at this time. And I said, yeah, and LeBron is often riding his bike. Everyone became creatures of habit here, and you got to know people's quirks and habits and
routines.
You know, we gave a hug to Heather in the mailroom and Pam in the package room, people that I never would have met.
There's a girl named Marilyn that, you know, took my temperature and did my, you know, my testing and my vitals every day. Okay. I like her. We were all one big happy family, you know, for everybody.
So Malika, you have a flight in how long?
Short enough that I need to start.
She has an hour before her car comes.
My flight is in 3 hours.
Eminem, Malika, and Melinda. Safe travels home, and Malika, talk to you when you get back to New York, coming up next.
All right, I'll talk to you on the other side.
Love you all.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured, it was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Wow. Wow. Malika, welcome back to New York. How was your flight?
Thank you. It was mostly uneventful, which is always a good way for flights to be.
It is now Tuesday night. You have landed. You are back home. Your elbows up on your couch.
I purposefully chose clothes that I haven't worn in months to put on after I rinsed off. I thought, you know what? This is a sweatshirt that's been in the drawer for a while. I'm going to put this on. These are some sweatpants that have been put away for a while. I don't even like them that much, but you know what? These are the sweatpants for me tonight.
And now you are wearing, Malika, the official uniform of 2020, which is whatever the hell
gray
pair
fit.
Of sweats we got
gray
in our
fit
home.
2020.
All gray. So you were last in sunny Orlando. Now it is fall in New York.
Yeah.
What does the city look and feel like to you right now?
You know, it made me so happy to be driving in from JFK and to see the Empire State Building, which I look out at. And to me, that signaled being home. And I got in, I got my bags upstairs, I took a spin around my apartment, making sure that everything was as I remembered and no uninvited friends had moved in. And
we're clean on that. We're all good on that front.
And then I realized I was eating takeout for dinner, but I can't get up in the morning without coffee. And so I went to my bodega, because everyone in New York has their corner store that they go to. And I walked in, and the two men that are always working there said, "Oh, she's back. She's back from the bubble."
Oh.
And that felt like a homecoming.
That's great. That's great. And hold on, though. You didn't just eat any old takeout.
Oh, no. I did not eat any old takeout.
Please tell America what you got to dine on tonight. On
I got my sushi.
On a certain special expense report.
The Daily sent me my sushi.
And how was your long-awaited sushi?
The noises that I was making as I was eating my sushi can only be described as animal. It made my week. It might have made my month. It was delicious. And I'm only halfway done. I ordered so much.
So this is the part of the interview of an author who just wrote a book where they're like, "So when's your next book coming out?" So the bubble is officially over. You are back home safe. What do you know about when the NBA and how the NBA will be returning for this next 2021 season?
Well, part of the reason I think there was a bittersweet feeling to the end of the bubble, in addition to the fact that there were so many close relationships built, the fact that it was something that felt safe, and now you're going back out into the world that is at a different point than we were inside the bubble. I think the other thing that makes it a little bit sad, a little bit anxiety provoking, is that there isn't a firm date for the restart of the season yet. So when something ends, when a season usually ends, you're able to look forward to, well, I can live for 3 months without basketball. Well, I can go and do these other things. And then boom, before you know it, the fall will be here, the off season will be over, or you're going to have the draft and then summer league and get your basketball fix that way. That isn't the case here. Adam Silver has said that realistically, January would probably be the earliest that they'd be looking at for the return of a season, but they are holding out hope that they can have fans, at least in some capacity, in arenas. And if that means waiting until February, until March, the NBA has said that that is something that they're considering, and that isn't off the table.
So if I come to you tomorrow, Malika, if Melinda comes to you tomorrow and she says, guess what? It's going to be another bubble next season. What is your first reaction?
Count me in.
Malika Andrews, before you head back into another bubble, thank you for joining ESPN Daily, and welcome home.
Thanks, Pablo. I'm going to go eat more sushi now.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.